But what happened is...
And one cup of joe.
You want that smoke, LeVar?
They disrespected me.
Yeah.
The pros, LeVar Arrington and Brady Quinn. The cup of joe, Jonas Knox. And they're the new morning show you've been waiting for.
That's sad.
Two pros and a cup of joe. Right here, 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Saturday on Fox, join Reggie Bush, Coach Stoops, and the rest of the Big Noon Kickoff crew as they preview the day's biggest college football matchups. Then stick around for the Big Noon Saturday matchup. It all begins at 10 a.m. Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed and Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Rustin Monroe, 97.7.
It's time for the Louisiana National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show on Sports Talk 97.7 is also brought to you by Courtesy Automotive Group, Walpole Tire, Brister's Smokehouse Barbecue, Dairy Queen, and Bienville Motors. Text us at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio, BC Beckhams, John Tabor, Sports Talk, 97.7. Of course, you can get us on the hotline or text line, 888-993-7762. Beckhams on Thursday night.
Thursday action, BC. Threw off my whole week.
Did it throw you off?
Threw me off a little bit, but I'm good.
Hey, when you wake up tomorrow morning, you'll be near the end of the week. Might not be a bad thing.
Big Friday.
Big Friday coming up, huh? What'd you do on this bye week?
Man.
Did you go hunting any?
Nope. But I am this weekend. Not mad about the 8 p.m. kickoff Saturday night. It's still 8, right? They hadn't changed it.
Yeah. Heard they might move to 6. Get you out of the stand a little early.
I got a big north wind coming in this weekend, BC.
Love a solid north wind.
Pretty excited. But no, off the bye week, I just hung with the family.
I like it.
Nothing newsworthy to report.
Watch some football. It was a fantastic weekend in college and the NFL.
I mean, unbelievable. Every game. Just about.
Lost a little catch, not going to sit here and
you
lie
did.
To you.
Yeah, you did.
Rough week, but hey.
And took another L in fantasy.
Shocker.
1-17 in your last 18.
0-5 this year.
Not good.
Never too late to win a game in fantasy.
Never. Hey, all you got to do is win when we get into the loser playoffs, you just got to win one.
That's right. I picked up Devontae Booker
this week. I would love that. I would love if you went 0-13 and then won the first week of playoffs.
I've got to take some emotion away from it.
I can tell.
I'm just not emotionally
You've
involved.
Taken some emotion away.
Some talent.
Some talent, some thought.
Some coaching.
Yeah.
Still spending that waiver wire money.
Whew. That's new. Tabes, we did that this year. Did we tell you that? We did the free agent. I still have all mine.
Tabes giggled when I told him I added Devontae Booker.
Yeah. Everybody.
I mean, if it's a plug and play for this week, I certainly get it.
Probably the RB1 going forward.
Well, hey, I'm on some Khalil Herbert on two squads this week, so I'm right there with you.
Taves, the only moves I've made on the waiver are kicker and defense.
What's your record?
4-1, and I should be 5-0 except I lost by 1 yard.
Could be, would be, but you're
maybe,
not.
Yeah, but Taves. 1 yard, Taves. That's pretty that's pretty unbelievable.
Imagine me coming in here saying Skip Holt should be 4-1, 5-0.
No, I get it if it's like 5 points. It was 0.08 points, 1 yard.
If you won a game this year, Ben.
Yeah.
No, Taves.
1-17 his last 18, Taves. How are you going to listen to a guy on radio that hadn't won more than 2 games in his last 18?
Oh, got a question from John.
Subject changed.
Real quick.
Diamond Lake, Michigan. Good to hear from you, John, with all the close games against arguably good teams to start the season. Do you get the feeling of the 2011 WAC championship season?
No, I do not.
Why?
Because we won a lot more games that season, did we?
We were 1-4 to start.
Oh.
I think it's a fair question.
I retract my statement.
Don't know if you remember, but 2011, Nick Isham started the year as the quarterback.
I was a little college freshman.
Little would be putting it nicely.
I think old Taves may have been with the Tech Talk around this time.
Oh, I like it, Taves. I like it. So that was the year we actually went to Southern Miss for that.
So that was my sophomore year.
I'm sorry, that was the year before.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, during Tropical Storm Lee, we've told that story.
Yeah, like 50 times. Tech starts 1-4 that year. They make the quarterback change.
That's right. I do remember
this. Colby Camp comes in, lights a fire.
I was thinking of 2012. That's my fault. We didn't win the conference natty.
No, we did
lost
not.
To Illinois late or something?
San Jose.
That's
and Utah State. But anyways, so I don't know. It's a good question, John. You talk about the start of the season.
I think so.
It's a very real possibility.
I've been telling everybody that's like jumping off the fan bridge. I'm just like, hey, we got conference coming up. We've played three really tough teams really close. I'm not going to get into the shoulda woulda game because you're already
can't deny that Tech is a talented football team. Yeah. Talent doesn't win football games, obviously.
No, but some better coaching might. So, just saying, Ben, we might have been a little better.
Beck Ainge off the top of the cage match.
I'm just saying. I do think that's been my hope this whole season. It's what's got me by. Is we have a chance. I mean, I don't feel like Conference USA is as strong as they've been. Would you agree with that? I mean, UTEP and UTSA stepped it up. I get it. But as a whole, is there a dominant team right now?
I don't think there ever is, though.
Yeah, but, you know, UAB and Southern Miss have been
UAB
more
won the conference championship, and Tech beat them with their worst team in 7 years last year. Like, there ain't a dominant team in the league.
All right, and then Southern Miss is not a factor because Fighting Jack Abraham's no longer.
Falling off the cliff. So, they're not fighting.
I think you got a bunch of teams that we used to could call it trap games, but I'm really tempted to just throw that term out the window because we have Austin Kendall now.
AK.
He's a dog.
He is a dog.
So I'm tempted. I just hope that bad juju is gone with him. So
I got a question for you. This is going to fire you up so much. All right. So obviously, I was out of town last week. Got back Tuesday night about 10 o'clock. And I did not get the opportunity to be on the press conference. So I'm reading the transcript that Ashley Springer, the wonderful Tech football SID, releases after each press conference. And Skip dropped one of his lines.
Oh, he did?
We treated these first five games of the year as preseason.
Oh, that's bold.
Got to the bye week. Obviously 1-0 in the conference, like where we're at from that standpoint.
That's the only leg he's got to stand on. So of course he said that.
So what's your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's just so predictable. I mean, I would probably say it too, Ben, if you want me to be honest. He doesn't have much to, there's been some complaints. There's been some glaring coaching malfunctions, execution malfunctions. So what are you going to tell the fans going forward? Hey, we're 1-0 in conference. We really tighten things up at the bye week. Looking to go undefeated and get a conference natty. Of course he's going to say that. That's the only thing he can say. What else are you going to say?
My thing.
Sorry about those three really close games. We had a really good opportunity to win, but we blew it.
Exactly.
What are you going to say?
Exactly. And so my thing is this. Obviously, as a fan, which I think we'd fall into that category to some degree.
Well, I would think.
Yeah. I don't think saying that you treated the first five games of the preseason is...
Well, here's the deal. He didn't have to say it because it kind of looked it on the field.
Not really, though.
What do you mean, not really?
Beck, have you ever watched the NFL preseason? Not too competitive.
Well, I'm just saying.
But let me get to my point. So whether you like or you don't like it, I think it goes back to what we've discussed at different periods of time throughout the first eight shows. There's not a whole lot that you can draw from what a coach says, okay? Skip has all his Skipisms. Every year we talk with Eric Conkle. What does Eric Conkle say? We want to play tough, hard-nosed defense. We want balanced scoring on the offensive side. Lane Burrows, Tech baseball coach.
Dominate the average
play. Every coach in the country,
no doubt,
has their own little phrases. We heard this, treat the first five games of the season as preseason or whatever.
That's a long preseason.
From fall camp. So I wasn't that surprised to hear it.
But
it certainly created some angst.
Well, it gives off the indication that you were trying some different things and you know, but it's like, hey, I'm gonna give them a bye on NC State. That was a tough game. I still think it's tough for us to score even with
bye
the
bye week back giving
no,
a bye.
No,
shocker.
I'm just saying. I'm not even going to count that. I think to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Shocker, Tobes.
Oh, here we go. Benefit of the doubt. I'm gonna give them MC State. We just got beat. You had two teams.
You had to win the football game.
You had a that's a big step for our program. You can't pull the whole like it's preseason. We're trying some stuff.
Gigantic.
We're trying to play real conservative to see how that would help. We're trying to go three and out to see what we how we respond. I don't want to hear preseason indicates that you're trying to get some things worked out that you may not normally try.
Fair enough.
Am I wrong?
No, it's fair enough.
So I don't want to hear that when you blow a game against Mississippi State, when you give up a Hail Mary against SMU. I don't want to hear it.
Fair enough.
I want Skip to tell me, hey, those were three tough losses.
You want him to be Ed Orgeron, and you want him to say every week.
I don't even listen to Ed.
You want him to say every week, we just had our best practice of the year, and then you're down 21-0 at the half.
You're dang right. I'd love to hear that.
Oh, you would?
I would love to hear it.
Oh, tight. Tight. Did you hear what Ed O had to say last night? This is totally off topic, but he's going to be like, personally, on fourth down, I wish we'd call better plays. All right, throw the OC under the bus. Secondly, he says, I wish the quarterback wouldn't throw it to the freshman running back. All right, we've thrown the quarterback under the bus, but I'll take responsibility. Oh, do you now? Do you now?
It's like saying with all due respect to somebody and then saying whatever you want to say and pretending like it doesn't count. Because you said with all due respect.
Ding, ding, ding.
I was driving last night and I heard Coach O on his little radio show, which has got to be brutal. Can you imagine
terrible.
Just getting dominated every week in the SEC and then going to sit in a bar and answer questions from a pretty obnoxious fan base? He just takes it off the chin every week. They have super high expectations and just one after the other, just dropping them.
Super high expectations, we'd be putting it lightly down in Baton Rouge.
Can you imagine if you had to go answer phone calls from people that are drunk? By the way, every one of them that calls is drunk.
Would be awful.
Every one of them. I listened to two calls and they were slurring.
Would be terrible. All right, Beck. So before we get to our first timeout, of course, Louisiana Tech traveling to El Paso this weekend, 8 p.m. kickoff on Saturday night. That game will be on ESPN+. Of course, have it right here on KXKZ. This is obviously Sports Talk 97.7, but our sister station, KXKZ 107.5. Pregame show, Malcolm and Teddy starting up at 6:30. Have the postgame show following the game.
It's about 1 a.m. if you want to tune in.
Probably start about midnight. Tapes will be a little fired up, ready to go home, but I'll tell him to chill out a little. Maybe I'll bring him a Mountain Dew.
Do it.
Here's a big fan of Mountain Dew. Of course, obviously, Louisiana Tech had a bye week this week coming up at 6:30. Matt Brown, Extra Points Podcast, will join us. We're going to talk some college football realignment. It's been a popular topic the last few months.
Yeah.
Matt has had, appears to have his hand on the pulse of some of this G5 realignment, especially in the AAC. So we'll get some, great takes from Matt. Coming up at 7 o'clock, Brett Bloomquist with the El Paso Times.
Double guest tonight.
Yeah, coming up at 7 o'clock. We're going to talk UTEP Miners.
Let's do it.
Let me tell you something about the UTEP Miners.
Go ahead.
Quarterback Gavin Hardison. Not a great thrower of the football. Very low completion percentage. But he's completed 12 passes over 20 yards down the field that are going for an average of 45 yards per play. On the opposite side of that, he's also thrown 5 interceptions on deep balls.
Okay.
So a little interesting matchup. Can
kind of a home run, strikeout kind of guy is what you're saying?
Tech defense, number one in Conference USA in preventing the big play.
Oh, that's a stat.
How about that stat?
How about that stat?
Be interested to see if Grubbs and his boys on the Tech Bulldog defense, see if they can slow down some of that UTEP deep passing game.
There you go. Hey, got a little text. Dustin says, by the way, Skip talks – well, let me start that over. By the way that Skip talks in his press conferences and coaches show, you would think Tech is playing Alabama every week. Dustin, I say it every week.
There's no doubt.
Skip loves to pump up the other team.
There's no doubt.
You know what I think probably happens? I think other coaches probably play Skip's press conference to get that team fired up. Like, this is what people think of you.
It's their hype video.
Yeah. It's maybe like Skip probably narrates their hype video. That's what I think happens.
Oh, you're killing it.
Hey, but
it
he's
tonight.
Respectful.
You are gotta love it tonight. Let's go ahead and take our first time out. When we go back from the break, I don't know if you saw it. USA Today released its 2021 coaching salary database. Where does Skip Holtz ranked amongst his peers in Conference USA?
We should release the Bleed Tech Blue salary. See where I rank.
Down the totem pole. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Be right back after this.
Louisiana National Bank is your community bank. Whether you are a small business owner or a parent helping your child open their first savings account, we look forward to working together to help you achieve your dreams. We are committed to delivering on our long-term promise, making each interaction with you more exceptional than any you have ever experienced through the convenient delivery of personal and business banking products. Ready to experience uncommon banking? Visit with our friendly staff at one of our convenient local locations or visit us online at ln.bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Walpole Tire and Service loves supporting La Tech football. And if you're going on a road trip to follow the dogs, they want you to get there safely. Count on the pros at Walpole Tire to keep your car in the game. From the largest selection of name brand tires in the area to expert ASE certified service, including brakes, tires, and front end repairs. Your home team for over 60 years. Walpole Tire and Service, Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
This is Chris Brister, owner of Brister's Smokehouse Barbecue in Ruston. The past year has been challenging, and I wanted to say thank you to all who have supported us. Without you, we couldn't serve the delicious scatter load, our great ribs, or our newest menu items, smoked wings, jalapeno cream corn, or our smoked cheddar mac and cheese. So from the Brister's family, thank you. Please come see us at 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Oh, courtesy, a great place to buy a car.
Welcome to the Courtesy Automotive family, where you'll find seven of the leading brands, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Two pre-owned lots, local qualified service departments you can rely on. You can shop 24/7 online at buycourtesy.com for all seven brands plus pre-owns. Welcome to the Courtesy Automotive family, Ruston.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries, just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Thursday night edition. BC, Beck Haynes, John Taylor live from the Sports Talk 97.7 studios. Of course, you can also watch us live on our Facebook page as well, Sports Talk 977. Beck, I know we got a text to get to.
FS says, in all fairness to Skip, old Lou once claimed Notre Dame would have to play its best game to beat Navy. He comes by it honestly.
Fair enough.
I mean, what if you're a coach, what are you saying? What are you saying?
You have to talk up to your opponent. You can't
I get you at the toe of the line of, like, I got to be respectful, but.
No, I'm not even sure that. I'm saying, like, you can't go into your team and be like, hey, guys, like, listen up. Like, UTEP's 5-1, but their schedule is 128th in the country. Like, you can't do that. These are 18 to 22-year-old kids. Like, they ride the roller coaster. They're on social media.
You gotta go feed the BS.
You gotta act like they're good.
Ah.
Like, are you kidding me? Beck, if there was an easy
test, why can't you go up there and be like, listen, they ain't a good team, okay? But we still got to do our job.
Listen, guys, they ain't a good team. We're going to take Tuesday
off. No, I said no.
No, because that's how kids react.
Or you're
going to
beat the pants off them. We talked about this last week.
Okay, no, I agree with that.
Say they're bad, so let's step on their throats.
No, you tell them, hey, they are good, so we got to play our best football game. So then when you do play best football game, it's 28-3.
See, as an athlete, you know, I was an athlete once, and I prefer to know what I'm up against. If I know they're bad, then I walk up to the plate. Because I played baseball. I walk up to the plate, I'm like, y'all are bad. But if I think you're good, I walk up to the plate, I'm like, gosh, I hope you don't strike me out.
Well, that's just because you're a little pessimistic and you couldn't hit. But that's different story, different day. All right, so USA Today, every year they release their coaching database as far as coaching salaries across the country. Traditionally, they've had a little bit of a difficult time getting some of the numbers on some of the private school coaches.
Because a public school, it's public knowledge. Yes. You have to
disclose it. FOIA. Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah.
You request it, you got to be given.
Okay. But private school, you don't have to do it.
Yeah. So.
Got to go to the old rumor mill.
Looking at Conference USA. We've talked a lot about the highest paid coach in Conference USA. He's headed on his way out. Seth Luttrell at North Texas. $1.9 million.
What a waste of money.
Holy smokes. You ain't kidding. Number two head coach.
So is that the AD's fault?
I mean, he had some success early in his tenure. He probably got the extension a little quick.
A little quick extension.
All right, number two coach in Conference USA. Over in Birmingham, Bill Clark, $1.653 million. I think they're getting their bang for their buck.
Yeah.
I mean, it ain't the prettiest brand of football, but they win football games.
Yeah, they do.
Number three. Oh, your boy Sonny Dykes, $1.3 million at SMU.
What was he making at Cal, do you remember?
Not sure.
I'll find out.
Probably around 2.5.
We got a stat guy on that?
Yeah, stick the stat guy on it. Number three coach in Conference USA, not getting the old bang for their buck down in Miami, Butch Davis at FIU, making just north of $1 million, $1.093 million. Only has a $45,000 buyout, Ooh. Though. So
so Skip, or what's his name? Sonny was he was averaging $2.8 million over the next 4 years, a substantial raise from the $2 million he was due to make in 2016. So took a pay cut going to SMU.
There ain't no doubt. That's what you have to do when you get fired. All right, number four, Mike Bloomgren at Rice, which is a private school. Like I said, there's a few private schools listed here. Bloomgren's making $934,000. Number five, at UTSA, Jeff Traylor,
$830,000.
Number six in Conference USA.
The Skipper.
The worst head coach at Southern Miss in the last 50 years, Will Hall, making himself $800,000.
Okay.
Southern Miss is so bad this year.
I haven't watched them.
They are on their fourth quarterback.
They play ULM, is that true?
No, they do not this year, but they lost to UTEP last week. That tells you all you need to know. Pretty convincingly, too. It's a two-touchdown game.
Ooh.
They're on their fourth quarterback. They wish Jack Abraham was still there, but he's not. Was that number six? Number seven. Shifting to the eastern part of the United States. Austin Kendall's hometown, the Charlotte 49ers, Will Healy, $793,000 a year.
Okay.
Number eight, at Louisiana Tech, Skip Holtz.
I thought he made more.
$779,000. You look at the buyout for Holtz right now, for all you Louisiana Tech fans calling for Skip to be fired, donate $3 million and it'll happen. $3 million buyout. Looking at number nine, Willie Taggart.
Oh, he goes up next year.
Skip does. Yeah. 805.
No, 850.
Okay. Number nine.
That's just cost of living, though. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah, cost of living, Russell. Yeah, no doubt. Willie Taggart, FIU, $775,000. Number 10, Ricky Rain over at Old Dominion, $762,000. Must be nice to get paid $762,000 as the ODU head coach last year when you didn't play one football game. That'd be pretty nice.
Not bad.
Number 11, Charles Huff at Marshall, $755,000. Number 12, Tyson Helton at Western Kentucky, $751,000. Number 13, Dana Dimmel. Actually, Dimmel's number 14 at $748,000. Actually missed the number. Rick Stockstill was actually number 5. I missed his name on the list. $910,000. So Skip's actually the ninth highest paid head coach in Conference USA. So I'll ask you this. For a program that's paying its coach the ninth highest salary in relation to its conference, is Tech getting its bang for its buck?
Absolutely.
Zero doubt.
Oh, you got guys. We beat the pants off North Texas by one touchdown with our backup quarterback. He's making $1 million more.
Tage, we beat the pants off North Texas
by one touchdown.
I love it. Oh, Beck is on his game tonight. Who are some other coaches across the country that you'd like to hear about?
I'm looking at Terry Bowden.
$430,000.
What?
Lowest paid coach in FBS.
That's what I figured. I didn't even. 400, huh?
Yeah, 400,000. Wow. You look at some of the other names that are down towards
that's still a lot of money, Ben.
Oh, zero doubt. The one that surprised me the most, Tapes, tell me how much this surprises you. Out in the Mountain West, Jay Norvell at Nevada is the 113th highest paid coach in the country. That surprised me a little bit.
Nevada's got some money, don't
they? I figured they'd be at least
they'd be in the
1.5.
Yes.
Yeah, they got, all that casino money, too.
But you look at the bottom dwellers within the country, you know, you talk about the Sun Belt, obviously, with Terry Bowden, but outside of Terry Bowden in the Sun Belt, 10 schools from the MAC make up the 10 coaches ahead of Terry Bowden.
Cool.
Heard Maxion starting next Wednesday night. Are you a big Maxion guy?
Yeah. I mean, you need a little midweek bump, you know? I'll watch a little midweek football.
Highest paid coach in the country, Nick Saban, $9.7 million.
You think that's a bargain, or what do you think?
It has to be a bargain. Has to be. Second highest paid coach in the country, Ed Orgeron, LSU.
No way. I did not.
$9.0
That's what you call overpaying.
That's depreciated a little
bit.
Well, he has depreciated.
I mean, he did get you the national championship.
How about this one? Third highest paid coach in this country. This one will blow your brains out.
Okay, go ahead.
David Shaw at Stanford, making $8.9 million.
Never heard of him.
That explains why he hasn't gone anywhere.
Exactly.
I think he's a solid coach.
He is a good football coach. Fourth highest paid coach in the country, Dabo Swinney, $8.3 million.
Having a tough year.
Dabo has a $47.5 million buyout.
What? Oh, my gosh. Okay, what is the problem with Clemson?
DJ ain't very good.
Ukulele, he's not good?
Yeah. Fifth highest paid coach in the country, Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. Did you see that story on Lincoln Riley? Those student reporters.
Oh, yes. They were like spying on the practice from
binoculars.
Yeah, the public building.
Imagine if that was me and you.
Yeah, you think Caleb starts?
Oh, yeah, Caleb's going to
start. Oh, bad look for the old Rattler.
Bad look, not getting any other Rattler merch.
Did we find out?
Speaking of depreciating value.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gosh, did we find out who paid him? Do we know?
No, like, we don't know.
I'll find out.
Sixth highest paid coach in the country, Dan Mullen, $7.5 million. Seventh highest paid coach in the country, Jimbo Fisher. I would imagine that increases yearly. It also says that Jimbo has a $95 million buyout, which I don't believe is true. I heard that he can leave. I bet that buyout dropped when Woodward left A&M. Number eight, Kirby Smart at Georgia, $7.1 million. Number nine, Ryan Day at Ohio State, $6.6 million. And finally, number 10, Gary Patterson at TCU, $6.6 million. Tabes, you'll love this one. I should have saved this for the edge. Number 11, Puffy's favorite, Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern, $5.7 million a year for Pat Fitzgerald to win eight games in a banner year. You got to love it. Let's go ahead and take our early timeout. We got a lot to discuss with Matt Brown, the publisher of Extra Points, talking college football realignment. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll be right back after this.
Hey Bulldog fans, this is Mark Richardson with Bemba Motors in Arcadia. Are you looking for the lowest possible price for a used car or truck? My fellow Bulldog and partner Jeff Robinson has been out scouring area dealerships looking for the best possible deals. When he finds them, we bring them to Bemba Motors in Arcadia and pass on those deals to you. Come check us out in Arcadia, and when you do, you'll be able to say, I know I got the best deal. Go Dogs!
Bemba Motors in Arcadia.
This is Jason Walker with Louisiana National Bank. No matter if you're buying your starter home or your forever home, Louisiana National Bank can take care of all of your home buying needs. Our rates and closing costs are competitive with not only your home team bank, but also those big online lenders. We have an amazing product portfolio, which means more ways to get you in your dream home, including low and no down payment options for qualified customers and properties. Conveniently apply online at ln.bank. L for Louisiana, N for national.bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
It was a moment.
It was a moment that changed my life.
We looked down from the chopper and saw the whole area was flooded.
At that moment, it really hit me. This is why I joined the Guard.
People had gone up to the rooftops to escape the rising waters.
Talk about intense moments. We had to lower the guides online some 30 feet down.
This is where teamwork and training really paid off.
It took steady nerves and steady hands for the chopper pilots to hover like that.
No question, guard pilots are the best in the world.
I couldn't believe it. I just saved a life.
What could be better than serving the people of my hometown?
In the National Guard, you serve your community as well as your country. While you work or attend college, in return, you gain skills in which you can build a career and receive benefits that can help you pay for college. Learn more about what it means to be a citizen soldier at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana National Guard, aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Louisiana National Bank. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
Welcome back. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, BC, Beck Haynes, John Tabor, live from the Sports Talk 97.7 studios. Joining us on the hotline, publisher of Extra Points, Matt Brown. Matt, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And we wanted to bring you on to talk a little conference realignment. Obviously, I guess when you talk about off the field, that's everything that's being discussed these days in the college football world. So I want to start with this. Obviously, we knew that the TV contracts were coming up in 2022, 2023. Did it really catch you off guard that much that Oklahoma and Texas was the first domino to fall?
I got to be honest, I really was. And I wasn't, I mean, I wasn't surprised that they decided to test proverbial free agency. You know, that was something that a lot of people in this industry were telling me was likely to happen. I thought we had another year to do it because the Big 12 TV deal doesn't expire, I think, until 2025. They wouldn't have begun earnest renegotiations of that TV deal yet. So it surprised me about the timing. I think it surprised almost everybody else in college sports. But that it eventually happens, that, I mean, you could draw a pretty straight line from 2014 to this moment.
And so you look at the teams that the Big 12 replaced Oklahoma and Texas with. When you talk about UCF, you talk about Cincinnati, you talk about Houston, were those the three best teams that they could have added from their point of view in your mind?
I think so, right? So the objectives here, as I understand it from the Big 12, are, all right, we need to add the teams here that have the largest fan bases, the fan bases that we know we can move to paywalled streaming content rather than just linear television. And from there was an overwhelming number one choice, and that was BYU. That was the only team that would have added a value to their television contract last time. So that, you know, that's the first school they add, makes a lot of sense. And then, you know, I don't think there's a gigantic difference, honestly, from a television perspective between Cincinnati, UCF, Houston, and Memphis, or Boise State for that matter. You want to add the teams that give you not only the best chance of having high level football and basketball now, but also high level football and basketball over the next couple of years, right? Who is going to be good even after they lose their coach? You know, who is going to be good after the level of competition steps up significantly? If you wanted to argue that Memphis was a better choice than Houston, I wouldn't push back on that argument too much. I don't think there's a gigantic difference between those two. The four that they added are close to about the best circumstance you can do. We'll see what those schools look like in 4 years once, they get access to more money, and the quality and depth of their competition increases.
Do you think the Big 12 eventually adds two more schools, like a Memphis, like a Boise State, maybe a San Diego State? Do you think that, I don't know if forced is the right word, but do you think they expand even further?
I think there's a good chance of that. And, you know, from talking to people within the industry, I can tell you folks at Boise State definitely think that that's pretty likely. And they have planned their strategic vision for their athletic department these next couple of years around potentially being in the Big 12. Whether that's accurate or not, you know, I can't say for certain. I tell folks that if I had a working crystal ball, my newsletter would be more expensive. But that's, I can tell you people at Boise definitely think that. People at Memphis definitely think that. And what needs to happen before we really have more clarity on that front is clarity on when exactly Texas and Oklahoma leave. Now, how big a check they're writing. if this gets stretched out till 2025, there's no reason to really engage in expanding further until you have some clarity there. And if it turns out that you're going to get a really big check and you have some time to kind of subsidize some other programs to build up your depth, maybe you give Memphis a call.
How surprised were you when the AAC targeted Colorado State and Air Force that they ultimately chose to stay put?
I was not surprised at all that they targeted those schools. It is not exactly a state secret in this industry that the administration at Air Force does not love the Mountain West. I was honestly pretty surprised that they decided to stay. And I understand the arguments to leave and to stay for those institutions. I think a credible argument that if those two had left and were operating in a world here where you're going to have one G5 team make the college football playoff every year, that your access to that playoff will be much greater in the American than it will be in the Mountain West. You know, as it stands right now, without knowing exactly who's going to be in the American, I think it's closer to a push. But there's a pretty big resource gap between the teams at the top end and the bottom end of the Mountain West, and that television situation is simply not very good right now. I understand why the American went in that direction. I understand why those talks were very serious. We'll see what the Mountain West looks like in a couple of years. It has a chance to get a lot better very quickly. It has a chance to be in a really challenging situation if things don't break their way.
And you talk about the American and where they're at now. Obviously, I believe they're with 8 football schools. You know, Navy plays football. Obviously, Wichita State is the basketball side of that. From your point of view, if you're the American commissioner, Mike Oresko, do you add 4? Do you add 2? And I guess this is a little bit of a loaded question. Could they afford to only add 2 schools, knowing that possibly they could get poached again further down the line?
You know, I think if they get poached again further down the line, they're going to have opportunities to add upon a couple of other ones here. And this is the $10 million question, because there's a lot of different directions that this whole operation can go right now, I think. From talking to other ADs and consultants and agents and people around, the best I can gather is that UAB is pretty overwhelmingly their top target, but there's really not a ton of separation between target number 2 and target number 8. And some of the schools that the American, the administrators in that conference would like to add from the Sun Belt have said, no, we're not really interested. And you get to this point, the differences in money between the Sun Belt in 2027 and what the American hopes to have are really not that significant, or even within Conference USA at that point. Then it's just a question of prestige. It's a question of ego. It's a question of institutional fit. Because anybody, even anybody short of Monroe, I think, can come up with $2 million for their budget somehow, if they need to close that gap. It's a much different calculation than it is to join the Big 12, or to have joined the American a couple of years ago, because it's not going to be a $7 million TV deal anymore.
And I know you've talked a little bit about this on your podcast, and when you look at, I guess particularly we'll talk about Conference USA and the Sun Belt. What are the schools or the programs in those two conferences that are the power players, so to speak, that try to, I guess, run everything in situations that can get a little dicey, like these situations are when it comes to realignment?
Yeah, I'm not necessarily sure there's dominant programs like there are in a lot of these power conferences. And one of the tricky things to think about here when you're looking at conference politics is that it's not just athletic directors. You know, ultimately, it's university presidents that make decisions about alignment. And sometimes the most important university president voice in the room isn't the voice of the most prestigious athletic department. Often it is, but that's not always the case. You know, what I can tell you right now is that if you're a program like App State, where you enjoy a fair amount of influence within the Sun Belt because you are one of the premier programs, you have one of the largest fan bases, what you don't have is one of the largest budgets. And so I think that is a good example of an institution that's like, well, we have a really good thing right now with the Sun Belt, and we have a lot of influence within that league office. And if we jump up and suddenly have to start playing Memphis and South Florida and some of these larger schools, we're not really in a place where we can add an extra $15 million to our athletic department, and we won't have the same amount of influence. So then it's not really that attractive of a jump, especially when you consider what that's going to look like for some Olympic sports. I don't think I'm talking out of school here. on this particular program, if I mention that one of the schools that has historically been reticent to engage in conversations about a merger or about swapping programs or about being perceived as a peer to the Sun Belt has been right here at Louisiana Tech.
Yes.
And that is not shared by all of their conference peers, but that that has been the university that has been some of the most public about we do not want to merge or you know they're not our equals. We are the league that poaches them, and that might have been true 5 years ago. Definitely not true now.
Okay, I have a very interesting question for you, and I'm glad you brought that up. From a national perspective, obviously you're not like us. You don't cover Louisiana Tech on a day-to-day basis.
No,
does
sir,
that
definitely
view,
do not.
Does that viewpoint of Louisiana Tech, does that kind of give Louisiana Tech a little bit of a elitist mentality from the outside looking in?
So, I mean, look, what I can say here is I get it, right? And a lot of these times, if you're an AD or you're a president or a regent at a regional public institution and you feel one way and the 12 people that write 6- and 7-figure checks to your athletic department feel another way, well, buddy, you gotta change how you feel. On some level, you have to be reflective of the people that are supporting your program. So, if you talk to me in 2013, and what I have said, hey, is Tech out of line for saying we're not really a peer to Monroe or Lafayette? I wouldn't throw a temper tantrum about that. I would think that probably makes some sense. I don't think that's true now, and I can tell you that within the industry, that's definitely not thought of being true. But I don't live in Ruston. And if I haven't been following this program for 30 years, and I don't have the same blood and emotional equity in that program, I can't fault somebody for feeling that way when that's been the reality for decades and decades. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and throw stones at anybody.
No doubt. And I want to go back to you talk about the influence that presidents could possibly have in this whole conference realignment shuffle. How much of a role are academics playing in some of this stuff that's being discussed?
Honestly, at the Conference USA and Sunbelt level, very little. And I say that, want to remind folks that academics, broadly speaking, can matter a very great deal.
Yeah.
For conference realignment. But how much it matters depends on your ability to turn teams down, what kind of leverage you have, and also what kind of institutional identity you have within your league. So if you look at, say, the West Coast Conference, well, there's a very strong identity. Those are all Catholic private schools on the West Coast. So even to add a really good team like San Diego State, the academics and the university mission would matter a lot because that school is not like everybody else. You look at Conference USA right now, you've got Rice, right? One of the most elite research and selective institutions in the country. And no disrespect to Marshall, they're about the opposite of Rice.
Yeah.
So you really don't have a leg to stand on there, right? What the one exception I can tell you to this is Liberty. And for Liberty, it's not so much about academic quality. And I know sometimes, I have readers or people sending me, it's like, this is religious bigotry. This is about politics. It's only kind of. Like, you and I, you know this just as well as I do. A lot of the places and markets in Conference USA, that's not Berkeley.
Yes.
Right? There's a lot of people that probably agree theologically and politically with a lot of Liberty grads all over this footprint and a lot of these public schools. But because their university president was, quite frankly, an embarrassment over the past couple of years and doing things that were really outside the mainstream in academia, you've got these guys that are card-carrying Republicans and go to country clubs and are like, I don't want to be seen as a peer to that dude. And I especially don't want to be seen as a peer to that dude when Liberty walks into Conference USA and, opens up the checkbook right at the beginning and says, we'll pay $10 million to get in this league. Because If you're a bottom resource school in Conference USA, you're thinking, look, not only do I got to bring in this school that people at the faculty union are going to complain about, but they're going to be able to double my budget immediately, and they've got basketball facilities that are nicer than some ACC schools. What do I want to deal with that? That school has nothing in common with me. So for that specific institution, yes, academics matter. Is anybody looking up whether Louisiana Tech has like a Carnegie designation for figuring out where they want to go next? No.
So I wanted to ask you, we've talked a lot about, obviously, Conference USA commissioner sends the letter to the AAC this week about possibly the regional realignment, which I think is a great idea in theory, but I think we all understood that the AAC was not going to merge with Conference USA. But for the long-term sustainability for the G5, how beneficial would it be for all these programs, for those 30, 40 programs, to form some geographical, regionalized-type conferences?
Of course. I mean, I think we've even talked about this before, right? Like, if we could go back in time to 2014 and get everybody in the Southeast and the Atlantic Coast and a couple of these FCS programs into a conference room and say, nobody leaves until we redraw these boundaries and so into groups of 12 where we can bust through most of our league, yes, that would have been better long-term for a lot of people. And looking at this now, it's kind of disappointing because the argument that Delaney and Judy are making here that, listen, none of us are really in a position where we're going to add a lot of TV value. And that's not a pejorative. That's just the realities of this industry and the kind of schools that we are. So we're just shuffling chairs here where the difference between the worst and the best TV wise is going to be $4 million, which is, that's real money, but not that much money. And for what? We're hurting our chances to sell tickets. We're hurting our chances to build rivalries, to improve the student experience. And a lot of it is about ego and prestige. And the ironic thing, of course, is it was Conference USA earlier this decade that was turning people down. And there's a lot of burnt personal bridges between athletic directors and university presidents and senior administrators at schools at Conference USA and the Sun Belt and some of the AAC schools. So if you didn't turn the other cheek, you can't really expect somebody else to turn the other cheek too, even though you're right, it would have been better for everybody if we had thrown all that stuff aside and gone to a regional model.
Last question, we'll let you get out of here. Had a number of our subscribers at Bleed Tech Blue want me to ask, do you plan to write a follow-up to your book, What If? A Closer Look at College Football's Greatest Questions? They absolutely love it.
No, I'm so glad to hear people enjoyed it. I just had a blast writing that book. And I've got a couple other ideas for books, whether that's a follow-up to more what-if questions, because I've had a chance to do other research. I've had a couple other ideas about, that are in the line of what I write about at Extra Points. But I got to be honest, y'all, I write 8,000 words a week and sell ads and do all this reporting. If I told my wife I was going to write another book right now, she would kill me. And if she didn't kill me, I would have a heart attack. I would love to do another book if my business gets to the point where I'm not writing as much as I am for Extra Points. And maybe that happens someday, maybe it doesn't, but I hope that there'll be another one Sunday.
Absolutely. Well, fantastic stuff this evening, Matt. If any of our listeners want to follow some of that work you do at Extra Points, where can they find that at?
Oh, I love that question. That's my favorite one, right? You can find me on Twitter at Matt Brown EP. You can find Extra Points, which is a newsletter that covers the off-the-field stuff that shapes college sports, from conference realignment to name, image, and likeness, to athletic department finance, to local politics. You can find it all, extrapointsmb.com. You can subscribe for free, get 2 newsletters a week, or become a paying subscriber, get 4 newsletters a week, and help put peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on my kids' table.
No doubt about it. Thanks, Matt. We appreciate it.
No problem, fellas. Anytime.
Matt Brown with the publisher of Extra Points weekly newsletter.
Dude knows his stuff, BC.
There ain't no doubt about that.
I'm scared if he lived here, you'd ask him to be the co-host. That's what he made me feel. I'm a little scared.
Bro, I'm never dropping you, bro. Never dropping you.
Contract won't let you.
Let's go ahead and take our next time out. When we come back from the break, in the spirit of realignment, I'm going to bounce some schools, some programs off of Beck Haynes. Would he want them in Louisiana Tech's conference, or does he turn his little nose up? You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Be right back after this.
Oh, Courtesy, a great place to buy a car.
Welcome to the Courtesy Automotive family, where you'll find 7 of the leading brands, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. 2 pre-owned lots, local qualified service departments you can rely on. You can shop 24/7 online at buycourtesy.com for all 7 brands, plus pre-owns. Welcome to the Courtesy Automotive Family, Ruston.
Louisiana National Bank is your community bank. Whether you are a small business owner or a parent helping your child open their first savings account, we look forward to working together to help you achieve your dreams. We are committed to delivering on our long-term promise, making each interaction with you more exceptional than any you have ever experienced through the convenient delivery of personal and business banking products. Ready to experience uncommon banking? Visit with our friendly staff at one of our convenient local locations or visit us online at ln.bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
This is Chris Brister, owner of Brister Smokehouse Barbecue in Ruston. The past year has been challenging, and I wanted to say thank you to all who have supported us. Without you, we couldn't serve the delicious scatter load, our great ribs, or our newest menu items, smoked wings, jalapeno cream corn, or our smoked cheddar mac and cheese. So from the Brister's family, thank you. Please come see us at 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
It's time to move the chains.
What are we prepared to do to win? Are you willing to strain a little harder? Are you willing to work a little harder, focus a little harder?
Head coach Skip Holtz and the Dog Brotherhood are ready to grind their way to the top of Conference USA. Feel the results all season long right here.
Catch all the action of the 2021 Louisiana Tech football season live on Big Z Country, 107.5 FM. Want to find stuff out about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Louisiana National Bank. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio, BC, Beck Haynes, John Tabor. Great interview with Matt Brown, publisher of Extra Points. Always interesting to get different perspectives when it comes to conference realignment, Beck. You know, we talked with Eric Wood a couple weeks ago. Obviously, an AD has a different perspective from a true media member like Matt is. I would imagine if we got a different media member, he would have different opinions.
You would hope so.
Yeah, and listen, I also think it would be a little naive to think that when you talk about some of these guys that cover conference realignment, you know, I'm just throwing out some examples. I don't have any evidence that this is actually true, but, you know, a UTSA AD could be willing to leak something to a guy like Matt. A Rice AD could leak something to a guy like Matt, whereas a Southern Miss AD might not say a word to anyone ever. And so they could kind of be viewed in a lesser light when it comes to some of these type things.
The whole, like, the dynamics of how schools do this, the leaking thing. Like,
it's interesting.
Oh, and in the NFL, too.
Yes.
And, like, I need a book on that because I'm always
– I like reading the stories of how it goes
surprised.
Down.
I'm, like – and especially from a few years ago, I was totally naive to all that. And I get why they do it, and I get – well, but it is so interesting to me how –
I think too, and Matt talked about how Sunbelt programs told the AAC no as far as moving into their conference. And I don't know that that's necessarily true based on some of the things that I've heard. But if you remember when all this stuff went on right at the beginning of it, after Texas and OU made the decision to leave the Big 12 for the SEC, the Sun Belt quickly came out and said, we want to expand. Conference USA said they'll evaluate. Conference USA, Judy, she's not a forward thinker. Like, let's just give it to her. She's a little slow. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if that meant that the Sun Belt was turned down by the AAC. I don't know if that meant they are very united amongst their 10 programs. But it's, like you said, it's very interesting to see how these different programs and conferences go about things. And I have no doubt that at some point, I would imagine the AAC is going to try to leak something to get some feedback on some programs that they might be interested in. They could have leaked UAB from the very beginning because, as we've seen, UAB's always been a favorite. Maybe they wanted to get some feedback on a Conference USA school right out of the gate. But the interesting thing to me is, like you said, how all this leaking works.
Oh, it's fascinating.
And the side stories that it's really meant for.
Yeah. Will the People says, I disagree with one thing Matt said. This isn't about any Sunbelt school turning down the AAC.
I agree.
It's the Sunbelt schools telling AAC they can't possibly meet their demands.
I agree.
App State is one example. They don't have the money to pour into baseball or basketball.
I think UTSA falls into that category in Conference USA. And I also think that you talk about some of the reasons that Conference USA has failed. When you look at beyond the actual programs in the conference, obviously adding an FIU, adding an Old Dominion, adding a Middle Tennessee, adding a Western Kentucky, you know what I'm saying? Some of these programs that we're not too keen into, as far as I guess their likability to us, you have to look at what Conference USA failed to do as well. You tried to launch Conference USA TV, which was $9.95 a month. Very, very appealing on the surface. But if you're not going to stick to your demands within this conference, and I'm talking to you, Judy, as far as getting your productions up to par, it's going to fail in a miserable way. And that's exactly what's happened.
We saw that in baseball season, right?
Exactly. And that's a microcosm of this conference and how it's gone. And another perfect example is, why is North Texas not playing baseball? You're in Dallas. You have no reason to not play baseball. And we talked to Brett Vito of the Denton Record Chronicle weeks ago, and he talked about how, it's in the plans. When's it in the plans? You don't lack money in Denton. You're paying your head football coach $1.9 million to go 4-8. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe you need to become a baseball school.
Another example, Old Dominion last year, we banged on them for not playing football. But like if you're a conference, like you got to be together.
Yeah, there's no togetherness in Conference USA.
There's none. It's two different leagues. It's what it is. Tech's been in Conference USA since 2013. How many times did we play Western Kentucky in football in the regular season? Like four times?
Yeah.
Hadn't even played Charlotte until this year. Didn't even play Marshall until 2 years ago. Like some of those things that Conference USA did, it was poor leadership. I understand if you can't get fans to a football game at FIU. But they have to be up to standard in some other ways as well. They have to keep moving the program forward. I talk about UTSA not willing to invest in their program. Beck, I kid you not. You drive 5 miles south of the studio to Rustin High's baseball field, and you'd commit to playing high school baseball before you'd commit to playing at UTSA. And that's an indictment on them, because it's not due to lack of finances. You go to watch an FAU basketball game, there's 14 people there. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes to back to some of the stuff we talk about when it comes to, are you going to blame the coach for this or that or the other when it comes to execution? Like, at what point are you going to blame the players? Well, at what point is Conference USA leadership going to tell some of these universities to look themselves in the mirror and have some pride? Because it's ridiculous that you had a great idea like a Conference USA TV, and all you had to do was invest a little bit of money to get it up to par. But instead, you're playing on Stadium, you're playing on Roku TV, you're playing on ESPN The Ocho, you're playing on Facebook Live, you're playing on CNN, you're playing on Fox News. like you couldn't flip a coin and figure out where some of these games are at. It's the biggest game of the freaking season last week. Western Kentucky, UTSA, and some freaking Stadium. Cool, I'm glad they paid for some followers on Twitter to look relevant. But their productions are terrible. Like, that's where Conference USA has failed. Like, there's nothing that's united. Like, we talk all the time, like, I get it, UTEP, it's hard to win out there. UTEP shouldn't be in this league. They're not close to anyone. UTEP at Old Dominion. Holy cow, I don't blame you for saying COVID. It's a 19-hour flight.
And a snooze fest at that.
And a snooze fest. But
what,
like,
give me your top three.
The schools that I want Tech to be associated with, obviously Tech, Tulane, Tulsa, SMU, North Texas, Southern Miss, Memphis. Some of these schools are pipe dream probably. But, like, at least you know some of the programs are invested. Like,
yeah, it's frustrating to have schools that are just very bottom of the barrel.
Like, as much as I bang on North Texas for their baseball, like, when we went there in 2018 for that football game.
Awesome environment.
And incredible. Beautiful football stadium. Uniforms suck. But at least it was pretty.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, you going to UTEP this week? No, I'm not. Like, sorry. Hey, you going to Rice? Like, no, I don't want the stadium to fall on top of me and I die. Sorry. Hey, you going to the UTSA basketball game? No, I'll probably go watch Shudrant play instead. It's a nicer facility. It's just embarrassing, the leadership aspect of Conference USA, and it surprises the living heck out of me that it's not made more of. Like, somebody call them out, other than BC. And yes, I have requested Judy to come on our show. And she told me she doesn't have time after working hours.
That's what she said?
Yeah. She don't work after hours on the weekends either because she obviously doesn't see some of her football programs. Let's go ahead and take a next time out. We come back. Brett Bloomquist, El Paso Times, joins us. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Hey, DQ fans, is there any better way to bring people together this season than the delicious Blizzard Treats from DQ? With the new fall Blizzard Treat menu, there's a little something for everyone and a lot of fall flavor in every treat. Whether it's flavors like the new pecan pie, returning pumpkin pie, the Reese's Pieces cookie dough, sea salt toffee fudge, Oreo mocha fudge, cocoa dipped strawberry, and the Royal Ultimate Choco Brownie, this just may be the greatest fall Blizzard Treat lineup ever. One way to find out is to try it for yourself today at DQ. Happy, tastes good.
This is Jason Walker with Louisiana National Bank. No matter if you're buying your starter home or your forever home, Louisiana National Bank can take care of all of your home buying needs. Our rates and closing costs are competitive with not only your home team bank, but also those big online lenders. We have an amazing product portfolio, which means more ways to get you in your dream home, including low and no down payment options for qualified customers and properties. Conveniently apply online at ln.bank. L for Louisiana, N for national.bank. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Walpole Tire and Service loves supporting La Tech football. And if you're going on a road trip to follow the dogs, they want you to get there safely. Count on the pros at Walpole Tire to keep your car in the game. From the largest selection of name brand tires in the area to expert ASE certified service, including brakes, tires, and front end repairs. Your home team for over 60 years. Walpole Tire and Service, Ruston and West Monroe. Visit WalpoleTire.com.
Hey, Bulldog fans, this is Mark Richardson with BMO Motors in Arcadia. Are you looking for the lowest possible price for a used car or truck? My fellow Bulldog and partner Jeff Robinson has been out scouring area dealerships looking for the best possible deals. When he finds them, we bring them to BMO Motors in Arcadia and pass on those deals to you. Come check us out in Arcadia, and when you do, you'll be able to say, I know I got the best deal. Go, Dogs.
Motors in Arcadia.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed and Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Louisiana National Bank. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
Oh, welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Sports Talk 97.7 BC. Beck Haynes, John Tabor. Let's go right back to the hotline. Brett Bloomquist, El Paso Times. Brett, thanks for taking some time to join us tonight.
All right, good to be with you.
No doubt. So let's jump right into things. Obviously, UTEP's off to a 5-1 start. 2-0 early on here in Conference USA play after wins over Old Dominion and Southern Miss. But I want to go back to last year. Obviously, it was an odd year with COVID and everything that went on. But did it feel like that's kind of when this UTEP minor football program under Dana Dimel started to turn the corner a little bit?
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, all three of their wins you could put question marks next to, two FCSs and probably the worst FBS team in America and Louisiana Monroe. But yeah, I mean, they won some games. They were pretty competitive in most of the rest of their games. And, you know, in fact, really competitive in all but two of them. And
yeah, they did make some strides. Most of all, that big junior college class they brought in for a quick fix in 2020 kind of showed they could play, that they kind of identified and hit on some guys there, and those guys are kind of the nucleus of what's become a very good defense now. So, yeah, you could certainly start to see that they were turning around last year.
And you fast forward to this year, obviously, like I mentioned, 5-1. Obviously, it hasn't been the toughest schedule in the country, but you look at some of the difficulties that they've had throughout the last few years. This has been huge for the UTEP program, not only from a win-loss standpoint, but these kids are playing with a lot of confidence as well.
Yeah, and you know, that's true. It's a combination of two things. They're a lot more talented. They were, for a three-year stretch there from 17 to 19, they were 2-34. One of those wins by 2 points against the sub-500 FCS. You could safely say they were the worst program in America. And I think they've really upgraded their talent. And, you know, I think computer rankings have them right around 100 right now. And it so happens that, you know, all five of their wins, they were playing teams that are below them. They were actually favored in all of those. Best way to get better is play someone worse. But yeah, it's kind of a combination of they've dramatically upgraded their talent and then taken advantage of that by beating some, you know, kind of lesser competition, but it's obviously got them to where they're believing in themselves now. And that was always the formula, and I think it's kind of worked out. It's kind of set them up to, you know, maybe start playing a little over their heads.
And you talk about the increase in talent across this roster. Obviously, UTEP's not the easiest place to recruit to, but how beneficial has the transfer portal been to the Miners?
I think very good in an indirect way. I think, you know, they haven't gotten a ton of – they have two starters on their defense who are from Division I transfers from the portal. I think the bigger key is, though, while other teams have really been going through that portal get Division I transfers, they kind of forgot about the junior colleges. And UTEP's suddenly been able to load up on junior colleges. 8 of their 11 defensive starters came straight from junior college. 5 of them were in their first year with UTEP last year in 2020. I think just kind of while people kind of moved away from that junior college thing, it kind of opened it up for UTEP to really take advantage. So it's funny. I think the transfer portal's definitely helped, but I think that's where it's shown up most is they've kind of had the junior college recruiting more to themselves and taking good advantage.
Gavin Hardison in his third year as the quarterback for the Miners. Obviously, if you look at the numbers on paper, it doesn't wow you. But you hear Coach Holtz talk about his play at quarterback. Been really consistent for Dana Dimmel's offense so far.
Yeah, you know, the last couple games, really kind of the last 9 quarters, they've kind of gotten really conservative on offense, partly because they knew their defense was dominating and they kind of felt like they could just run the ball. They're going to actually have a lot different approach this game. I think they're counting on needing at least in the mid-30s, whereas the previous two games, I think they knew if they got much past 20, they could win it. So they're probably going to open it up a lot more. You know, right now their offense has pretty much been running and bombs. You know, they've thrown actually their yards per completion is among the top in the country. But I think they're going to try to look to have a more well-rounded passing game. Hardison's definitely got a big arm. Probably needs to show a little more touch on some of the short and medium range passes. But he was doing that early in the year, and I think they're aiming to get back to that in the game where they think they're going to need more points than they've needed the last couple weeks.
Jacob Cowling at receiver, not the biggest guy in the world, but boy is he explosive for the Miners.
Yeah, he is. You know, I think that's clearly won a lot. I think he went at Conference USA by having players that probably shouldn't be in Conference USA. And I think he's one of those. You know, I think there's probably got to be some power fives kicking themselves. He's got elite speed. And I you know, and from what I understand, that didn't show up a lot in high school, but he's a 4.4 guy now. You know, he had a jet sweep the other day where he just outran the entire secondary of Southern Miss. And, yeah, his speed's made a difference, and then he's got a quarterback who can get him the ball deep, Hardison. And also, he's good at the shorter routes, too, so people have to respect that, and that kind of opens him up on those deep routes, and he's really put up big numbers this year.
Shifting over to the defensive side of the ball, I know they've been really good up front in stopping the run early on.
Yeah, they have. That front four, they've got one guy who's kind of their star player, Praise Amahule.
straight out of high school. You know, he's now a third-year sophomore, you know, played all 3 years, that 3D last year. The other three are junior college, second-year junior college guys who, you know, that's kind of how they built that program is with those junior college transfers. And, yeah, they've got a front four that it has been playing outstanding. And kind of as those other guys have emerged, it's allowed fewer double teams on Praise Amahule, and he's taken advantage. And it's become a pretty – the strength of the defense, and that's something you never would have said about UTEP in the previous 15 years.
Amahule was a terror against Louisiana Tech last year. I know the Bulldogs are probably not looking forward to facing him on Saturday night, but looking in that secondary, Devon Inyang, one of my favorite players in Conference USA.
Yeah, and he's having a big year. You know, it's his kind of third year in the program, and he's really kind of come on. He's emerged. He's been playing well for a while now, and he's now starting to create some turnovers, which is something UTEP hasn't had a, you know, kind of embarrassingly small amounts of in the previous few years. It's gotten a lot better this year, and he's had a couple of those. He's become a good player.
Last question, we'll let you get out of here. Louisiana Tech traveling to El Paso to take on UTEP on Saturday night. It's an 8 p.m. Central Time kickoff on ESPN Plus. For the Miners to have success against the Bulldogs, what must they do both offensively and defensively?
Well, offensively, they're going to have to open it up. You know, they had very little success against Louisiana Tech last year. They're going to have to throw the ball a lot more. They had a stretch against Old Dominion where they had 16 consecutive running plays on first down, just a first down play call. They're not going to be able to do that, and I think they know it against Louisiana Tech. They're going to have Hardison have a good game throwing the ball, and they're going to have to open that up. Defensively, I think they're just going to have to do what they've done all year and what they did last time they played Louisiana Tech, just get a, you know, good play from their front four, get a good pass rush going, and that kind of opens up everything for them. But also, they're just going to have to be a whole lot better on special teams. That's been kind of an eyesore this year. They, you know, joke that they're, you know, going to kick it away from Smoke, but if they don't know if they can do that, then they just need to not punt. So we'll see how well that works, but they've got to play a whole lot better there on special teams too.
Well, good stuff tonight, Brett. If any of our listeners want to follow some of the work you do online leading up to the game Saturday night, where can they find that at?
ElPasoTimes.com, and I'm also on Twitter at Brett Bloomquist. That's one T on Brett and at Twitter. But, yeah, ElPasoTimes.com.
Good stuff. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Brett Bloomquist, El Paso Times, joining us. And, Beck, you look to this game Saturday night. I think Brett was pretty upfront. They've beaten a lot of bad teams. Not a great football team.
Mm-mm.
But, like I said, you're playing with a lot of confidence, and there's something to be said for that for 18 to 22-year-old kids.
100%. The line right now is Tech at 6.5. I love it.
Started at 7.5.
Yeah, I don't know why it's going down, but I love it.
It's pretty low. Yeah,
it's pretty low. I mean, one touchdown?
AK
can do it by himself. All right? I really do like it.
How about them wanting to kick it away from the little chicken nugget, Smoke Harris?
Well, he's made a couple mistakes this year. He may catch it on the three and run back in the end zone or something. I don't know. We'll see.
You never know. Also, almost took one to the hizzy, though.
Yeah, he did. He did. Smoke, I give him a hard time, but he's a playmaker.
He is.
When
he wants to make a play.
No, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. We talked at length
Tech's
about.
Tech's got to win this football.
Yeah, we got to. UTEP and UTSA are both different teams than they were in the past. I still don't see Tech, famous last word, still don't see Tech having a problem with either of them. I mean, UTSA
lock of the year
is a lock
UTSA
of the year. So,
yeah.
Hope you're ready to defend that one.
How about
on
this
the old
one?
Homecoming?
How about this one? UTEP as a quarterback comes into the game and run the football. Little connection to Skip Holtz.
Oh, really?
Named Calvin Brownholtz.
How about that?
Well, Brownholtz.
Is that the only connection? Just the last
yes.
four or five letters? Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just checking. This is 8 p.m. game. Late.
Gonna be a late one. Might have to come to the crib watch with you.
Yeah. Actually, I think my kids will be out of town, so I'll be.
Really?
Come to your crib or you come to my crib?
Either one. Do what we need to do. But I'm looking forward to this one. Like I said, listen, you talk about UTSA the following week at homecoming. We joke around about Skip Holtz touting each team each week and how good they are. Listen, you cannot afford to lose this football game.
Yeah, this is going to be a...
You're more talented on both sides of the football. UTEP stops the run extremely well, which... I don't know how much you can really draw from that when you look at some of the opponents that they've played. But if I'm Louisiana Tech throughout the remainder of the season, it's pretty cut and dry. These football games are won and lost on the right arm of Austin Kendall. And he's shown that he has the ability to take you to the finish line. Let him do it. You have to. He's been too good. You go back 2 weeks ago, what was it, 412 yards, three touchdowns against the number six team in the country? He can light up Conference USA if you let him.
Right, and I'm thankful. Like, I'm not as worried this weekend. I don't feel like the running game is our identity. So
I don't
think
it is either.
No, it's not. I mean, it's been...
it's been okay at times.
What was it last year? Not good, not great, bad, abysmal?
Abysmal.
Abysmal. Okay, the year before that, Henderson used to bust out like two or three, four, 30, 40-yard runs a game. That was nice.
Hendy.
And then as quickly as he ran into the end zone, he disappeared the next year. And, Ben, I just don't – I haven't seen him. I know we talked a lot about our four running backs this year and how we were excited. They've been fine.
Here's something that's interesting to me. How will Tech – obviously, Austin Kendall's played, what, one game in about a month?
Right. That's so true. I didn't think about that.
How will Tech use him in the quarterback run game? He's been so good at scrambling. And on the opposite side, how will, starting with UTEP, Conference USA opponents defend him in that quarterback run slash scramble?
This is totally speculation, but I don't know if Tech can rein Kendall in. I think his instincts are just – obviously, we're getting a conference play. You don't want him to get hurt, but I think when he goes out there, I don't think you're stopping him.
I agree with that.
Is that a thing?
I agree with that.
I think coaches are like, hey, we'd love for you to not. But he's going to – I mean, he doesn't shy away from that stuff. No. And he's a big old boy.
He is a big boy. And listen, I love the tenacity that he plays with. We talked about the first 2 or 3 weeks of the year. He plays with such emotion. He plays violently, which, like you said, sometimes it's a bad thing for a quarterback. But this team feeds off of it, and they love that leadership at the quarterback position.
Nate says Tech won't lose another game this year. Love it, Nate.
Love it, Nate. Let's go ahead and take our final timeout of the night. When we come back, we'll put a bow on it. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7.
Louisiana National Bank is your community bank. Whether you are a small business owner or a parent helping your child open their first savings account, we look forward to working together to help you achieve your dreams. We are committed to delivering on our long-term promise, making each interaction with you more exceptional than any you have ever experienced through the convenient delivery of personal and business banking products. Ready to experience uncommon banking? Visit with our friendly staff at one of our convenient local locations or visit us online at ln.bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Walpole Tire and Service loves supporting La Tech football. And if you're going on a road trip to follow the Dogs, they want you to get there safely. Count on the pros at Walpole Tire to keep your car in the game. From the largest selection of name brand tires in the area to expert ASE certified service, including brakes, tires, and front end repairs. Your home team for over 60 years. Walpole Tire and Service, Ruston and West Monroe. Visit walpoletire.com.
Your wait is finally over. Football season has finally arrived, and your home for all the action is right here on Sports Talk 97.7. Monday through Friday, get that morning commute going with B.C. Kramer and the one and only, thank goodness, Puffy with The Edge from 7 to 9 a.m. Every afternoon, it's the show that's often imitated, never duplicated, Northeast Louisiana's longest-running daily sports talk show, The Sports Company, taking you home from 3 to 6 p.m. On Saturday morning, grab that cup of coffee and get ready for the day in college football with the Nick Brown Show from 8 to 10. On Saturday mornings from 10 to 11, the tradition continues as we go into year 16 of the high school football rewind, where we recap all of the great Friday night prep action. Then on Saturday afternoons, 3 hours before kickoff, live from Two Dudes Brewing Q, it's our local LSU pregame show, Tiger Talk. Listen for yourself and find out why nobody does football like Sports Talk.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Call or text the show at 888-993-7762.
Final segment of the show as we put a bow on Bleed Tech Blue Radio on a Thursday night. Beck, I ain't going to lie to you.
You get used to this, huh?
It's the first time I've ever done a Thursday night Bleed Tech Blue Radio show. Might be the last.
But well, if you quit taking vacations.
Well, that's one thing that could solve it. But hey, we made it happen. There ain't no denying that.
I don't
that.
Know if you'd move the show for me, but I know you sure as heck don't have a trouble moving it for you.
Tapes, would I move the show for Beck?
No. No
I
shot.
I mean, it wouldn't be bye week.
Hey, Tapes, I don't think you would ask to move the show.
Ben, I love this show.
You do love the
I
show.
I love this
There's
show.
There's no denying that. But sometimes you're
not,
you need a
you're
week
not
off.
Postponement week, Beck.
No, you are not. You are bye week.
That's fine.
And sometimes during a 25-show season...
You take a bye week.
You need a bye week or two.
I got some texts. You want me to get to them?
Yeah, let's hear them.
You got the Nate. He said Tech won't lose again this year. I agree, Nate.
Appreciate it, Nate.
Yeah. Who we got? Will the People says, after the interviews that old Skipper's done in the past few days, I think we should say a prayer and thanks that Coach Googe is on the staff. All right, is he a great interview?
Did you hear Googe
no,
the other day?
No, I did not.
Okay, so we had him on the edge, and he said he walked off that first practice after the spring. And his comment to Skip was this, Coach, I think I made a mistake.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
And he said Skip was like, Coach, hold on.
Hold on.
We're going to get some transfers in here. He said he'd never seen an offensive line that played with a lesser amount of confidence than that unit was playing with
I mean,
in
what
the
do you,
spring coming off the
Yeah, I was going to say. What do you say?
He also said the most important thing he looks for in an offensive lineman, intelligence.
Really?
Said he doesn't care about your talent, but you better be smart. If he can tell you what to do and you can do it,
yeah. But you got to think of
he can
if
get you to stand in
yeah,
front of.
If
a
you're
guy.
A coach, though, that what's more frustrating: a guy getting beat because he's not athletic, or a guy making the wrong read?
Wrong read.
Yeah, I mean, of course, every coach is going to say that.
I think that sometimes too, you talk about this offensive line and some of the issues that they might have had throughout the year, and they certainly haven't been perfect. But I do think that. They've been a lot better, and they've given Austin Kendall an opportunity to at least be successful, which is the big thing for Louisiana Tech after coming off of last year. And I also thought that Googe was funny. He said that these players know that it's going to be a tornado out there at practice. But when it gets out to game day, he's very calm.
I watch him on the sideline. He's calm.
Tells them what the job is. Tells them you do not stand up from that bench until you jog onto the field. You talk amongst yourselves about what you need to figure out to do better
like
the next
that.
Drive.
Hey, I feel like if there's any position coach on the field, no, you don't cuss more than an offensive line coach does. I mean, you can't
Zero
beat it.
Doubt.
Every offensive line coach I've ever known, they
bring the heat.
They don't have many words in their vocabulary, and they reuse a lot.
He summed it up perfectly. It's a tornado.
That's hilarious.
He said he simulates pressure onto his guys during practice so that when it comes to game day,
they're ready.
There's a calmness about them.
FS said, didn't anyone tell Judy that doing interviews is part of her job? I've seen P5 commissioners do halftime interviews.
You have no idea how blown away I was when I requested the CUSA. I've requested probably 4 or 5 times over the years.
And used to getting turned down, are you?
Their only response is, do you have time to interview her during the day? Because she doesn't do interviews in the evenings.
There are no after hours with a job like this.
And
that's
I said,
probably
Judy,
part of the problem.
And I said, Judy, no, I'm not wasting my time when part of your job is to be the forefront or the face of this league, and you can't come on the most prestigious radio show in Conference USA.
What? You tell her, man.
I did. All right, Beck, let's look at the Conference USA schedule right here real quick. Before we get to our picks this week, tomorrow night, Friday night, in Denton, Marshall travels to North Texas. That's actually my upset of the week. I think the Mean Green knock off the Thundering Herd. They've been really struggling. Western Kentucky travels to Old Dominion. That's a 2:30 kick on Saturday. UAB will clobber Southern Miss in Hattiesburg. That's a 2:30 p.m. kick as well. And then finally, Rice at UTSA. That's a little bit of a sneaky game. Rice has played a really tough schedule, but I'm not sure they can go to San Antonio and knock off the Roadrunners. And finally, is it the snoozer of the week?
The snoozer.
La Tech at UTEP. Every game in El
Paso. It's not the
snoozer
because we're big fans.
All right, it's time to make our picks. Louisiana Tech travels to UTEP. 8 p.m. kickoff Saturday night in El Paso. Of course, that game's on ESPN Plus. From a TV streaming perspective, if you want to listen to it on the radio, Malcolm Butler, Teddy Allen will have the call on KXKZ 107.5. Pregame show starts at 6:30. Postgame show, myself, Mark Kramer, Impact Healthcare Solutions, Louisiana Tech postgame call-in show. That'll be on the Z 107.5 immediately following the game. Tech, 6.5-point favorite, over or under, sitting at 55.5. Beck Haynes, you're on the clock.
Go with Tapes first because we always write. I'm writing mine down.
All right, Tapes.
If he says the same thing,
I'm thinking 31-27 Dogs.
Woo. I said 42-17.
Oh, Tapes, you're making me a little nervous. But hey, I don't blame you for not leaving the old 1 point or one score game out because we haven't proven that we can play a game, win or loss, in the opposite direction.
Let me change that. 37-27.
Okay.
Okay, Tapes.
I got 38-20 Dogs.
Cover on the road.
I'll take a cover on the road any day of the week.
Yeah.
Any day of the week. So, been a fun show tonight. Want to thank Matt Brown with the Extra Points. ExtraPoint.com, of course, has his newsletter. Go follow Matt. Matt Brown EP on Twitter. Want to thank Brett Bloomquist, El Paso Times, for joining us. So, real quick, programming reminder. We will be back on Tuesday nights starting next week, 6 to 7:30, Sports Talk 97.7. So, for Beck Haynes, for our flawless producer, John Tabor, I'm BC. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to the Louisiana National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show on Sports Talk 97.7. Brought to you by Courtesy Automotive Group, Walpole Tire, Brister's Smokehouse Barbecue, Dairy Queen, and Bienville Motors. Join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. with your host Ben Carlisle on the Louisiana National Bank Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show on Sports Talk 97.7.
But Don, this is the problem. You just open yourself up. If you put your 20-game winner out there and he gets beat up, there's nothing you can do.
Right, right.
But if you put a Knable out there and who's never started, and this is a game five. The Dodgers have the best roster, the biggest payroll. The pressure's on them to win, not the Giants.
Without a doubt.
Right? And,
yep.
And if you
no,
get,
absolutely.
And if you give it up by not going
best,
with your best
hey,
guy,
right.
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 All right. Appreciate it, Don. Thank you. Let's go to Eric in Los Angeles. You're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. I'm sure he's a Dodger fan. What's up, Eric?
Yes, that is true. I am a Dodger fan. Thanks for taking my call. Big fan of the show, guys. Love what you're
Thank
doing.
You.
Thank,
Thank
you. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm literally stuck in traffic next to Dodger Stadium as we speak in L.A.
Are you going to the – oh, yeah, no.
No, the game's in San Francisco.
No, that's empty. Hey, so listen, I know, remember before we knew all the antics in Houston, Dave Roberts, the pundits were saying that, you know, the analytics people were taking the game out of his hands. And so when they won the World Series during the COVID time, they're saying that, you know, he was able to make more decisions on his own.
Right.
I don't think that he would pull Scherzer or a healthy Kershaw from the start. And that's what bothers me about this. Like,
no,
why
I
would
agree
you do
with
this
that.
Now?
No, I agree
no,
with
that's
that.
A good point.
And Urias is a young guy, and this is his breakout year that he had this year with
right.
20 wins. But I just don't – for a guy – and you know this, Eric, because you follow the team. It just opens yourself up. And for Dave Roberts not to own it makes me not feel comfortable. Dave Roberts could have just said, this is my decision. this is what's going to work. We've done it before. I believe in Knable, and I believe this is going to work for us. You know, but he goes, oh, this came from upstairs, the tippy top. That says something.
Good for him. You know, it'd be interesting to see how the front office feels about that, Rob. You know, are they on board with him doing that? But
right.
All right, we got Greg Jennings, Super Bowl champion, all-around Renaissance man coming up next. But first, the loquacious Brian Finley.
Chris and Rob, in anticipation of that big divisional round game five matchup between the Giants and the Dodgers, about a little less than an hour until first pitch, and they are already in San Fran yelling out beat LA chants. So that is already starting in San Fran.
I know it's going to be. You know it.
Yes.
Beat LA. You remember that, Chris, in the NBA all over.
Oh, yeah.
NBA America. That is a standard chant against Los Angeles, and it's going to be something. That's a great ballpark right on the river there, right on the water there. I love it. I love that place.
Chris and Rob.
Swimming pools and everything.